The recording of today's podcast is going to be published in two separate episodes. This recording was done alongside Jonathan Waltower. In today's episode, both Jonathan and I talk NBA playoffs. However, in the second part of this episode, Jonathan and I discuss Meek Mill and the larger conversation of mass incarceration. Without any further ado, here is today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Off the Field with your host, AP. In today's episode, I am going to be joined on with Jonathan Waltower. Jonathan has been on the show before.
Hey guys, what's up?
And today, Jonathan and I are going to be talking about the NBA playoffs. LeBron James has been outstanding in the 2018 playoffs. Some of the stats I've got here, in 10 games this postseason, he's averaged 34.8 points per game, which is the best since his 08 and 09 playoff campaign, along with 8.8 assists and 9.5 rebounds. I think LeBron James, Jonathan, has been so good at what he does because he's been pushing himself to be the very best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been a thing since even when he was in Cleveland the first time. Like, that's why he left to go to Miami. That's why he came back. That's just kind of been his ethos. Like, he always demands perfection, and that has also caused strife amongst the team as well. Yeah. With everything that went down pre-finals and when they went down into their slump with Kyrie leaving and a bunch of other people, because he demands, I feel like LeBron demands the same level of perfection that he demands from himself. Yeah. From everybody else around him.
I mean, I look at LeBron James now, and I think we're looking at a evolved LeBron James from his first tenure in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's a different guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think the pressures of things like the league, the media, and his own team, like, they're on him. He has those pressures just like he had them before. Maybe even he has them more so now. He's up to the challenge, and he's performing every single day.
He knows how to handle them now. One of the big, like, he went to Miami. He was surrounded by other fantastic players. He was no longer the only good player on his team, and he was surrounded by his peers. He learned what a team could do when you have a lot of really good people who know how to play together really, really well. And then he came back and wanted to create that again in his home, and it worked.
Yeah.
Been there three times. They've won once.
Yep.
But now I think that's starting to kind of like crack a little bit too, because you also got egos and things like that.
And LeBron James, his body isn't Superman.
No.
Obviously. But, I mean, the guy takes extremely good care of himself. He's in his 14th year of playing the NBA. And he's 33 years old.
He's old.
So, somehow, he has found this magic elixir. He's doing all right.
He's better than he was when he was younger.
Yeah, I don't understand that concept. I mean, it's one of those weird things, like the curious case of LeBron James. But seriously, though, like, I don't mean to get all Batman on this podcast, but is LeBron James the superhero Cleveland needs but doesn't deserve?
Yes. Yes. So I'm from just south of Cleveland. We moved there before LeBron left, and like, I started getting into basketball a little bit just because I was in the U.S. and like being, I could do that. I started going to games. I had a LeBron jersey, everything like that. Then he left, and like, I didn't love the way that he left because of just the hubris that it discussed, and so I felt very justified with the rest of the Cleveland fans of like ripping down his banner and like burning his jerseys and everything like that. And then when he came back, I was incredibly disappointed by the Cleveland fans that just begged him back,
right?
Just because they wanted to win. Like, I felt like they sold out something when they begged for him to come back.
I guess, but I mean, he is also like the greatest basketball player of our generation.
He is. I just think like Cleveland,
I feel like I'd be on my knees for him to come back too.
Yes, but like Cleveland fans don't forgive easily.
Right.
They're still mad at Coach Brown for taking the Browns to Baltimore, and now they have the Browns that they are today. Like, they have not forgiven him for that. And everyone was like, yeah, LeBron's going to be the same thing. And then you have that pep rally in Akron that just fed into what I seemed like his ego. His coming on song was literally "I'm Coming Home" by P. Diddy, where the chorus is "I'm coming home, I'm coming home, tell the world I'm coming home." Now my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm coming home. I'm coming. Literally any song to describe LeBron James' relationship with Cleveland at that moment, that was the perfect song.
Okay, I can understand the hard feelings, but again, I'm sticking by my guns. I would love to bring back LeBron James.
Yeah. No, it made rational sense. I just felt like there was a heart of the fans. So now, if he does leave, which I think he should,
right,
they have no room to talk at this point. But if there's rioting, if there's Matt, like, there's going to be rioting in the streets because it's Cleveland.
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be rioting if he helps them win the NBA championship.
Because it's Cleveland.
It's Cleveland.
They've lost that right to then be mad at him again.
LeBron has every reason to leave, my opinion.
He does.
And I don't think that Cleveland deserves to have LeBron James playing for them because he is so good and he belongs someplace that is going to pay him and going to respect him and that isn't going to stab him with all these different kinds of pressures to be this sort of Dark Knight figure.
And I understand his reasoning for wanting to come back because Ohio is his home. And there's something weird, like, being from Ohio. When you leave Ohio, you hate it while you're there, but you have fond memories from it when you leave.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've learned being here in Chicago. But so I understand, like, wanting to give his city and his home a championship that they haven't had in almost 30 years. 50, 75 years, something around there. And so I understand that, but he's gotten that. He's done that, and now his career is what...
He's done what he needs to do. It's time for him to move on.
And his team, like we talked about, the level of perfection that he demands, Cleveland just isn't accepting that.
Right.
Cleveland seems to want to go back to being mediocre.
Yeah. I think he needs to go to L.A. I think LeBron James would do very well in Los Angeles. I got a couple of points why. Number one, the weather's always nice.
Is significantly better than Cleveland. Significantly better than Cleveland.
LeBron James, you deserve better weather than Akron, than Cleveland. And from what I understand, he already does have a home out in the LA area.
Yeah, he does have at least one house in LA.
The money would be great. I'm sure that with the Los Angeles Lakers poising for a big free agency, LA would be an awesome place to give him a huge contract, throw a lot of money at him. Now, here's a second thing, rather a third thing, including the weather, the money. Lonzo Ball.
Mm.
LeBron James would be an awesome mentor to Lonzo Ball.
I think he would, and I think Lonzo would benefit from that because you would have kind of a similar experience of when, not super similar because LeBron and Dwayne and people in Miami were equals,
right.
But having a really talented player to then be placed with another really talented player who can like push you to do your best. And in this case, it would be more of a mentorship relationship because this is a person who's done it in the league.
Right.
He's done well. He's being considered the next, just by some people, the next Michael Jordan.
Right.
Like, he's phenomenal. And so then he can then pass on his legacy to someone else.
Yeah.
Someone younger, and someone who can be him.
If he's going into his 15th year, I mean, his role is assumed already as a leader, as the number one player. And so Lonzo Ball would have to move over his ego. He would have to submit, which I think is the best thing for him. Automatically, he would have to look up to somebody like LeBron. And he would do very well to learn one or two things from LeBron. Probably, number one, how to handle himself professionally. I guess I don't really see them winning a championship next year in LA, but you never know.
Two things, though. I think this would be very good for both of them, but I can see Lonzo and maybe even his dad getting in their way. Because of the fact that LeBron did take on this charge of mentoring Lonzo, LeBron would demand perfection like he does from his from his body, from himself, from his team. And like you said, Lonzo would have to push his ego aside, and his dad would also have to push his ego aside because his dad does not want to admit that his sons can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so having to submit and be under the leadership, under the guidance of someone else would be super difficult for both of them. I think Lonzo could do it. I don't know if his dad would be okay with it or would be for it either, because he would have to admit that his son can't do everything.
Exactly. Yeah, he would have to definitely move his ego out of the way. LeBron James would demand something of Lonzo right off the bat. There could be a lot of butting heads, I could see.
A lot of tension.
In LA. But again, nice weather, He's already got a home down there.
How many of your first 2 points there are just because you want to move from Chicago to LA?
Okay, you're totally not wrong. This is I have a lot of personal stakes in the game here. Before the offseason, right now LeBron's Cavaliers are 3-0 against the Toronto Raptors. The Boston Celtics are 3-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers. It looks like we're going to have a Cavs-Celtics rematch in the Eastern Conference Finals. This would be the third time in the last 4 years. If this is the way the series ends up going, he's been here before against the Celtics. And since being back with the Cavs, they swept the Celtics in 2015. And just last season, they beat the Seas in 5 games. I think it's finally the Celtics' year to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, including LeBron James.
Because LeBron James can't do everything on his own. And that's basically what he's been doing. He seems to be carrying the Cavs on his back. And he's doing well because he's incredible.
Right.
Saturday Night Live just posted a sketch on YouTube that they weren't able to do with Donald Glover called The Other Cavaliers, where they're just making fun of the fact that LeBron is literally
the
Cavaliers.
Is hilarious. It is so funny.
Making jokes like, yeah, where are the other team members? We don't do anything basketball related.
Right.
But, you know, we'll get his laundry, we'll massage him.
Right.
And just all like, because nobody knows who else is on the Cavs besides LeBron at this point.
Right. If you don't pay close attention to the game, you hear Cleveland Cavaliers, your automatic Mad Gib association is LeBron James.
Yeah. He is human. He can't carry a team on his back. If he had other people around him to support him and to be able to rely on to an extent, I feel like they could do it, kind of like they did past years with the Golden State Warriors and previous when they had like their quote-unquote dream team here in Cleveland.
Well, the Boston Celtics have an amazing coach. His name is Brad Stevens. Every single year, they have continued to get better and better, the Celtics under Brad Stevens. And just the other game, I think it was game 3 against the 76ers, it came down to the wire. The 76ers actually lost to the Celtics. And there was so much praise after the game for how Brad Stevens called the final seconds of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just this mastermind from the sidelines. He sees the floor. He knows what's going on. And look, you take the best players on the Celtics and maybe you try to add them up and you still don't have like that one LeBron James on the Celtics, but somehow Brad Stevens has been able to make the best of the worst situations. The Celtics don't have Gordon Hayward. He went down earlier in the season. Kyrie Irving, formerly of the Cleveland Cavaliers, is out for the rest of the playoffs.
I feel like he's always out, though.
Yeah, he's got some bad knees, right? But look, the Celtics continue to do really, really well, and it's because you have this amazing coach. And that's what I think this series will be. The Cleveland-Boston series, it's going to be a great player versus a great coach. My prediction this year, Season 7.
I don't follow sports as closely as you do, so I'm not going to try and be as... I'm self-aware enough to know that I shouldn't be predicting, but I would love to see at least them go to like Game 6.
Yeah,
I think
it could be an awesome series.
Yeah, ultimately with this, like when you said, it's going to be a great player, like star player versus star coach, and just in that lineup, star coach wins every time. And I think it's also going to come down to teamwork versus star power, essentially.
LeBron James has given them the run. It's time for him to just kind of die out in the playoffs and start afresh in Los Angeles.
I'm just happy it's not going to be probably won't be another Golden State Cleveland, because I think I can only take up to 3 of those same thing over and over again before it starts getting monotonous.
I mean, look, I'm going to watch it either way, but still, we need something else in the finals. That is going to do it for the first part of this 2-part podcast with Jonathan Waltower. Join back next time to hear me, your host AP, on Off the Field. Thanks, guys.